Get up! Get out of here and go!
Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right, can't win them all. That's why you play all 162 of them. And, well, first inning really decided everything in this one. As the Brewers fall 6-4 to the Nationals, the series is level at one game apiece. And the rubber match tomorrow will have Tobias Myers on the mound. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a little bit. We are going until 7 o'clock here this evening on the program. The crew, late arriving offense. It wasn't a pretty offensive attack in the first few innings against left-hander DJ Hertz. We'll have some southpaw conversations as well. We'll also talk about what the heck's going on with Aaron Civale and what the Brewers are trying to unlock with Aaron, because now five starts in, and let's just, you know, put it bluntly, it has not been pretty. He does not have a winning decision as a Brewer starting pitcher. In fact, he himself is 0-2. He has pitched beyond the, or at least completed six innings only once in this time. He's completed five innings in three of his five starts, and a ton of contact against him. So we'll have some conversations about that with Craig Kishon, and we'll also talk a little bit about the offense and the alignment of what do you try to figure out with all of these lefties that you have at your disposal right now in the outfield. How are you able to decide who goes where and all of that arrangement that it goes? 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. You can call in, you can text in, hang out with us here tonight. But first and foremost, there is the first inning, breaking down the first inning. The Brewers scoreless in the top of the first. They got a two-out walk, whatever. It's first inning. And then you get two quick outs in the bottom of the first inning on 10 pitches for Aaron Civale, and you're thinking, all right, let's roll. Garcia pulls a double down the right field line that hits off the little short fence, and it's all right. It's a double. It wasn't hit terribly hard. It shouldn't be that much of an issue for you from there. But then he gets ahead of K-Bear Ruiz 0-2. Eventually has to throw two more pitches, fouls off another one, and he pulls an RBI single into right field. You're like, all right, whatever. Well, then James Wood comes up, and he walks James Wood on five pitches. You're like, okay, what's going on here? Let's make sure this rally ends here. Just make it one run, and you're fine. You got men on first and second and two outs, and he gets ahead of Travis Blankenhorn, 0-2 count on Blankenhorn, and a pitch. He tried hitting that outside corner to the lefty as often as he could. He got a call out there. He went out there, got a swing and miss. He went out there one too many times, and Blankenhorn drives it the other way, caught the jet stream, goes over Churio's head, hits the wall. Two runs score on that play, and then Alex Call follows that up with an RBI single right back up the middle, and you blink, and it's 4-0, all with two outs. But let's, first of all, on the Blankenhorn double to left field. The StatCast overlords that you and I both know, and I am a fan of understanding these metrics and looking, diving in and trying to see what the computers are telling us about players. And the computer is telling us that Jackson Churio had a 95% chance catch probability on that ball to left field. You and I both know, who have been watching him all season long, that the eye test tells us his number one Achilles heel defensively is reading balls over his head. He is slow to open his hips. He doesn't take his eye off the ball, which hampers his speed, which thus takes him out of play on balls like that. Do I think a left fielder should be able to make that play? I think a left fielder would have made that a little more competitive, at least an experienced one, would have at least had a more competitive chance at that fly ball. I don't believe the 95% number, but I could see something like 70%. That maybe like, hey, that would have been a nice play for a left fielder to make. But we can also honestly look in the mirror and say the eye test and the numbers do not match up in this case with Jackson Churio's outfield defense. He's one of the best defenders, according to outs above average this season. And specifically going back, it says he's made three outs above average going back this season for Churio. And you and I both know, we've been watching him all season long. That has not been a strength for him. And would it have made the difference in the game? I don't want to say for certain. But at the same time, you can hope that Jackson makes that play in left field. And also think, well, wait a minute, an 0-2 fastball. What could have made a better pitch there. But at the same time, too, still, the pitch wasn't a strike. Like, Civale did a pretty good pitch there. And Blankenhorn swung at a pitch out of the zone, but he got barrel on it, and he drives it to left field. So there's a lot of things happening at once there that all can be true at the same time. Churio could have maybe caught that ball. That Savali could have maybe used a waste pitch there on 0-2 and try to retire a guy with a breaking ball. And number three, he still did his job. He got a guy to swing at a pitch out of the zone. You just don't expect that quality of contact on that pitch. And that was a backbreaker because that made it 3-0. And I know Call had a single up the middle, but that was just a clean single to keep the inning alive and add another run home to make it 4-0. But to have 0-2 on Keibert Ruiz with a man on second and two outs and no score to suddenly be 4-0 in, 15 pitches later. He ended up throwing 34 pitches in the first, which put him behind the eight ball. That's the stuff that makes you pull your hair out. Like, man, you had 0-2 with two outs and a man on second. The inning should have ended there. Plain and simple. But this is the big leagues. Mistakes get punished, even on teams like the Washington Nationals. So the Brewers got a little taste of humble pie of what they're used to, right? Two-out runs and scoring in multitude of ways and finding ways to keep rallies alive. The Nationals did that in the first, and it carried them all the way to the end. And furthermore, against Bryce Wilson in the fifth inning, a stolen base gets a guy in scoring position, and then a one-out RBI single up the middle scores that stolen base. Like, that's Brewers baseball right there, but it was the Nats doing it. And furthermore, like, Bryce Wilson just letting Luis Garcia getting into a walking lead. The Nats are one of the only teams that steal more bases than the Brewers. This shouldn't be a surprise that the Brewers should be trying to keep the Nats close on the bases. And letting a guy into a walking lead just, again, mistakes get punished in the big leagues. And boom, a run immediately scores, which could have made a very different game, a 5-4 game, 6-4 game, very, very different opportunities in the late stages of this contest. But the Brewers fall 6-4 today. We're not going to overreact too much to this one. Bright spots were the fact that Reese hit another homer. He's now got a 9-game hitting streak. All 9 hits are singular hits, but he continues to drive the ball well. Jackson Churio, an RBI single, a clean rocket up the middle, and an infield hit, and a run scored in the 8th inning that started that 2-run rally. Also saw some productivity out of William Contreras, a double and a walk, but some other moments that he did not enjoy. The Brewers' middle of the order did not have their best days when they needed it most. Gary had the RBI single to really save face, but Willie was 0-for-4 today. Gary went 1-for-4. Reese had 1-for-4 with the homer, but the Brewers just did not give themselves nearly as many opportunities today as they did yesterday. We'll talk about it more coming up next. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. I want to remind you, though, that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you all season long by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Quick one today, Brewers fall 6-4 in just 2 hours and 10 minutes on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers fall today to the Nationals 6-4, right before the rain and the heavens opened up there in the Navy Yards. So rubber game tomorrow on the air at noon here Central Time for a 12:35 first pitch. Tobias Myers will try to get the Brewers on track. He'll be going up against another lefty, Mitchell Jordan. And that leads me to the topic here, the Brewers and dealing with southpaws. Today, they fall to 2 games under 500 when facing a left-handed starter. They're now 14-16 on the season when facing a southpaw. And this text from Doug, didn't like what I saw against the lefty, but I like the effort after he left. And 1-3 after the trade deadline. Well, the trade deadline's coming past, and the Brewers are, this is what they're going to roll with. Frankie Montas, Aaron Civale, Nick Mears. That's all they acquired. And we can sit here and bemoan the fact that maybe you wanted more, but this is what it is. You know, this is what you got, and you're going to like. And the Brewers are trying to piece it together and figure out what they want to use when it comes to getting their team going for the final 2 months. And there's 52 games to go. They're still going to be in first place at the end of the day by at least 5.5 games. The Cardinals already won today, and the Pirates are getting going right now against the Diamondbacks. So it's a loss. Go win the series tomorrow. But for the lefty thing, this has been a problem for years. And for the Brewers today, they rolled out a lineup with 7 of 9 hitters batting from the right side against the lefty DJ Hertz. And they got one unearned run against him, as Craig Kishon joins us now. Craig, they get one unearned run in DJ's final inning of work in the fifth inning, thanks to Jackson Churio getting a third look at him, and then they promptly removed him from the game. The Southpaw struggles continue here for the Crew, and you would think that with the lineup they rolled out today, I mean, these are guys that should have good track records against lefties. Blake Perkins is a better side for him, is batting from the right side. William, Willie, Gary, Reese, you need a little bit more from those guys against lefties.
Yeah, I really thought this lineup today was stacked up nicely, to be honest with you. And I like the fact that, Sal was in the 7 hole, the lefty, and Bryce was batting number 9. You know, he's done well in that spot. It's almost obviously like the next leadoff type hitter, if he can get on base for you to turn that order over. But I don't know, Dom. This has been a mystery to me that, you know, I know we talk about it a lot. We talk about it on the TV side too. It's becoming a frustrating topic to talk about, because what are the problems along the way here? Why is this so difficult? Or maybe it isn't. Maybe everyone in the league is, you know, a couple of games under 500 when they match up, you know, against left-handed pitching. I really don't know if that's the case or not, but you look at a situation like this, and yes, most teams will alter their lineups, but I don't think all teams alter their lineups either. So maybe that's the next thought process going into tomorrow's game, because they got to go up against another lefty in Mitchell Parker. I'm at a loss. I don't know. I don't know how you've been addressing this before I jumped on here, but it's a bit frustrating, to say the least.
Well, league average is 500 against lefties. And by my count, as I'm looking at it, again, the Brewers are now 14-16 against left-handed pitchers, so under 500. But among teams that have an overall record above 500 but have a sub-500 record against southpaws, they are one of 1, 2, 3. I'll just read them off here. The Diamondbacks, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Red Sox are the only other teams that are below 500 against left-handed pitching. And, I mean, just in the case of the Yankees, right? I mean, they have the best hitter on the planet right now in Aaron Judge, and they have the Hercules of a man in Giancarlo Stanton on their team, and Juan Soto, and they struggle against lefties. So this is not an isolated thing. We can't all be the Dodgers or the Guardians. Those are the two best teams in baseball against lefties. But I think for Brewers fans, it's so frustrating because, like you just said, this has been a year-on-year thing. Like, this is not an isolated one-year thing. The Brewers have not been able to solve lefties with their roster for years.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said this before, that I hate to say it, that it can become a psychological thing. I don't like it sometimes when lineups are so different than maybe they normally would, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, we're facing a guy here, it's a lefty, and we just going into this game don't stand much of a chance of winning this game. I don't think it's that bad, but sometimes it feels that way when you just clearly see the lineup is completely altered and they're just having a tough time. You know, I don't know if it's if you're going to do something like that, Dom, do you change your approach a little bit at the plate? Maybe they have, and things have just gone completely south at times. I don't know. But, through halfway through this one, like you mentioned, 5 innings through, they have 1 hit. So that ain't going to get it done. Let's put it that way.
And furthermore, I mean, that 1 hit was a William Contreras leadoff double in the 4th inning. And I'm not trying to say the sky is falling or scorched earth or anything here, but look, how many times the last 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks or so, the Brewers have had a leadoff double and nothing happened. And it's especially frustrating when it happens the second time through against the lefty with Adames, Sanchez, and Hoskins due up to strike out, pull a ground ball, strike out. It's just like, man, like, this is a rookie, and these veterans could not get the job. And I want to tip my cap to DJ Hertz. I really do. I thought his fastball is really good, and it gets on you quickly, has a lot of sink. It keeps guys uncomfortable. But the offense, that offense in May, produces 2 runs out of that situation after a leadoff double. We have not seen that the last 2 months.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is happening too many times with veteran hitters up there. I mean, this is half of this lineup is young. Half of this lineup is not seasoned and a bit inexperienced. But at this point of Willy Adames, Gary Sanchez, and Rhys Hoskins, I mean, I just, you know, you bang your head against the wall. You cannot start an inning with a double and have absolutely no effort to get him over to third, no effort to move him. At the very least, you know, hit the other way, whatever the case may be. And I'm not saying everything's guaranteed, but I mean, that guy should not be sitting at second base the entire inning, not with those three guys coming up behind you.
I agree entirely. And the Brewers, to their credit, they got one off of Hurts, and then the home run by Hoskins was timely in the seventh to kind of feel like you were in this game down 6-2, late arriving in the eighth inning against Jose Adan, and then finally an inherited runner against Kyle Finnegan scored, but then he slammed the door in the ninth inning, just allowing the single to Terang, and the Brewers end up falling 6-4. Part of the reason, though, they were trailing so early was Aaron Civale's start, and we will talk about that start coming up next and what the Brewers are trying to unlock and figure out and see what's going on with Civale. We'll talk more about the starting pitcher today coming up next here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
The Pirates have taken a 1-0 lead over the Diamondbacks early. Joey Bart continues to swing the bat well in a new scenery for him. Already mentioned the Cardinals came from behind to beat the Cubs 5-4, so as good of a day yesterday was, today is not off to the same pacing to this point, as the Brewers gained a game on everybody, and they might be losing a game on everybody today. But that's scoreboard watching season for you. Craig Kishon is with us. I'm Dom Catronio. Look, I love this time of year. It gets stressful. People feel like, oh my gosh, you got to win every single game. You don't. It's nice to. Don't get me wrong, but you're gonna drive yourself mad if every single singular day that, in both directions here, if you win one game and gain a game, it's over, we got this, it's no big deal. Or on the vice, like, ooh, lost a game, tear it down, it's not going to work out. Like, that's what this time of year is all about, and I love that just full emotion swing.
It is so much fun. I've always enjoyed it my whole life to be looking, especially at the fact that, you know, when I grew up, Dom, you know, it was way back in the heyday. You know, in the 80s and whatnot, in the 90s, you know, this team was really good too. You know, when Yount and Molitor were still on it, and we didn't have the expanded playoffs, and so, you know, we would look and see, you know, you're at 90 wins and you're, you know, two or three games out of first, but you have to win your division to go to the playoffs and whatnot. So this is a great tradition, you know, for true baseball lovers that watch this stuff from the beginning of the season to the end. And if your team's a winner, this is just a blast of a time of year. And you're right, man. Emotions run up and down, but that's what it's all about. That's the passion of sports, man. And we'll keep it rolling here. We're only early into August. I don't even know if the dog days have hit yet, but it almost feels like it started with the Brewers here in the last week or two of July.
Yeah, this feels like dog days, you know, and also playing in like two super hot cities in D.C. and Atlanta. Those aren't going to help the dog days of summer to feel any better right now. Let's talk a little bit about the starting pitcher today, Aaron Civale. And we were having this conversation watching the game as well, and I already broke down the first inning and the amount of contact with two strikes and the two-out rally that formed and a two-strike homer to Luis Garcia later in the game. And he got out of a nice jam in the fourth inning, but just a lot of contact. And it's a sort of in one hand and out the other when it comes to Aaron Civale. So try to break down his stuff, try to break down what he wants to do, where it's like, I'm stuck in between, Craig, because he gets so many two-strike counts, but I don't know what he wants to use to put them away. And we get to this point where he's giving up so many two-strike hits. Like, I've dove into the numbers. I'm trying to figure out what he wants to do. He likes to throw pitches up in the zone. We know that. But we had this conversation today. Like, if he was facing Aaron Judge with two on and two out and a two-strike, a one-and-two count on him, and I know it's Aaron Judge. He's a freak. But the point is, what's your best pitch? What are you going to go to? And I honestly don't know what it is for Civale, and I don't know if that's a red flag or not, because he didn't have an out pitch today. He really didn't.
Well, I think it is a red flag, and I you know, look, I didn't see all of his games hardly at all before he was traded over here, so I'm not going to pretend to say, oh, he's been doing this all season. But he came over here with a rather high ERA and some struggles, and this guy has not won a decision since April 9th. I mean, that's 19 starts that he has not won a decision, which is stunning to me. And I know, you know, there are some bad luck and all that kind of thing, you know, with starting pitching in this game once in a while. Well, he must have it all going right now. And in my opinion, Dom, this is going to be an easier said than done statement, but I think they need to, maybe they need to strip things down with him here and maybe even give him a, you know, give him a start off and so they can kind of regroup with him, because I don't know, quite honestly, with time kind of running out on the season here, if it could be any worse than what we saw today. I mean, that was not good in the first inning. I mean, you just can't record those two outs and then just get hammered and in the middle of that issue a walk to top it off. I mean, this is a struggling Nationals team right now, and Murph said it, they're playing loose and whatnot. That's fine, but that's not a good enough excuse for me for a veteran pitcher on the mound. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if Savali is tweakable when it comes down to, we can just work on, you know, maybe one thing here or make one decision and stick with it. I'm not sure what we've seen so far in his first five starts as a Brewer.
Yeah, and I tweeted about it and just was diving into the numbers of just today of how many times he threw two strike fastballs. And with respect to Savali, his fastballs just don't move. I mean, the cutter's okay. Opponents went 1-for-6 against the cutter today, but on the season, that's been one of his worst pitches. But when I'm pulling up his count breakdown right now, and I'm just looking at the amount of fastballs that he threw, right? So he threw 6 pitches with an 0-2 count today. 5 of them were 4-seamers. He threw a total of 7 pitches with a 1-2 count. 4 of them were cutters. 1 of them was a sinker. So 5 of the 7 pitches were fastballs. Then with a 2-2, it mixed a little bit more, but still only 2 breaking balls and 4 fastballs. Then with a 3-2 count, it was 2 fastballs and 2 breaking balls. It's just like, for some reason, he doesn't trust his breaking balls, and I don't blame him because he gave up a homer on one of them on an 0-2 count, but he's falling into patterns. He's falling into predictability, and I feel like I don't want to just flat out accuse something that I'm not 100% certain on, but look, we see him have the pitch comm on him. Okay, he's allowed to call his own pitches, and I know there's a familiarity that needs to build between him and William Contreras, but I wonder if you, like, hey, man, I know you want, the pitcher is always in control of what he wants to throw, and he can shake off. What he's doing right now, it ain't working. So we got to work things out here and figure out what you actually need to use to be effective.
Yeah, exactly. And all those examples you gave when he was that far ahead in the count, and you were wondering where, you know, what is your put away pitch? Right now, it's more of, here's what I'm going to give you as your bailout pitch, hitter. And you can't keep doing that. You can't give in to that. That's pretty obvious at this point, but that's what's going on. So I don't know. This doesn't seem like a big mystery to me. This seems like this is fixable, at least on paper, but do you have the pitcher who can physically and mentally pull it off? I mean, I don't think they would have gone out and kind of taken a chance of acquiring him and bringing him on board if they didn't think that he could help them win right now. And I think that's the bottom line. How can Aaron Civale help you win right now? How many starts is he going to have left, Dom? 8, 9 at this rate? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, these – you know, count them down, man. You know, if he had 12 or 13 starts with you, you know, to take you to the promised land and be a contributor down the stretch, you know, you're losing time now. So to me, you know, something's got to be figured out here quick.
I agree. And I don't want to just pile on the guy today because
I don't either. I mean, look, come on now, the Brewers went out and got him, and they did the same thing with a couple of pitchers. They're, you know, who they acquired, they're taking some chance on of making them theirs, and it can't be done overnight. I get that. But I think in Savali's case, he's been here the longest. He's been here for a full month now. Time to start seeing some progress.
I agree. And when it comes to, you know, the Brewers are now 1-4 in his five starts. The one win was not to his credit. He didn't get out of the fifth inning in a slugfest against the Twins right out of the All-Star break. And a quote that has always stuck with me when the Brewers comes from pitching coach Chris Hook, and what the Brewers look for and what they try to highlight and what they try to use. And the quote was, be exceptional, be above average in something. If you have something that you are exceptional at, the Brewers are going to validate it, make it even better, make it even more exceptional. And I see pieces, I see building blocks that are exceptional. The movement on his breaking balls are exceptional, but the command is not there. Or the fastball locations or his sequencing are not quite exceptional. So it's all a total package that you've still got a month and a half for him to try to figure it out. So probably 9 more starts or so for him to figure things out and get back on track for the Crew, because they are going to need him down the stretch just to get to the postseason. We can talk about postseason rosters when that day comes. But right now, all we're focused on is, hey, can you help the Brewers get a W before October and audition yourself to say, hey, you're one of the 3 best pitchers on this team for a playoff series? Because right now he's not. Right now it's Colin Ray, it's Tobias Myers, and it's Freddie Peralta. So in the meantime, they got to figure out what they want to do with him.
Well, it makes me think this. I'm going to throw this your way too. Just the update on Deal Hall's status of rehabbing. It seems like the Brewers are really pushing him to get to that 90 pitch count and not just go 77 pitches in his 5 innings of rehab. I think it almost looks to me like they're clearly pushing him to be ready to start games versus be ready to come in and be a relief pitcher for the final 6 weeks of the season, like he was last year in his first year in the majors with Baltimore, when he was a relief pitcher down the stretch and in the playoffs. To me, it looks like they might have to be preparing themselves for potentially needing him to start some games to get him all the way down to the postseason at times. Very interesting kind of turn in events, because I didn't quite see them saying we need DL Hall to potentially be ready to start and go fairly deep. Especially in the pitch count mode, but it'll be interesting to see. They've got some work to do here. They're, you know, the internal work, the homework work, all that stuff. There's a lot to go yet here.
I think they're seriously considering a 6-man rotation. I really do, because they have a lot of off days down the stretch, and they're trying to keep Freddie fresh, and they're trying to keep Joe Ross fresh, and Tobias Myers is throwing more innings than he's ever thrown as well. Colin Ray is throwing more innings than he's ever thrown before, so these are all things to be considered. Maybe a 6-man rotation until you get that extra roster spot in September, and yeah, DL Hall, he should be back very soon, and you're right, he went 5 strong innings the other night on Thursday night. He could be back as well. I don't want to be all Debbie Downer with the pitching, because Nick Mears had a scoreless inning, and aside from one run scoring against Bryce Wilson, 3 innings of just one run ball, Bryce once again did his job of being the bridge, and Nick Mears having a 1-2-3 eighth inning, they kept the Brewers in this game when it could have easily got out of hand in the middle part of this contest.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, when Bryce came in, I think with him, Dom, and I don't know if everybody shares this thought, but you wonder about Bryce Wilson and how they've used him this year. Heavily relied on him to you know, open games, come in and work bulk work as a starter, almost out of the bullpen, however you want to call that. And now, you know, he's coming in long relief of some games here where they've been down, and so, you know, this is a guy that has done a pretty good job here over the last couple of years as a Brewers of keeping everything in his head straight. And I think you know, I looked at him today, and I think he's still going to play and can play a major role, and it might be for, you know, one or two wins down the stretch where it's like it's his game. But if they did mount this comeback today, a lot of credit has to go to this guy for keeping this Nats team at bay. And the other thing in with Mears, I just thought he had a real nice bounce back from kind of getting hammered as his last time out at the end of the homestand. So, you know, relief pitchers got to do that. They got to bounce right back, and I thought he did a good job.
I agree with all that. Mears was great. And, again, he's a ground ball pitcher normally, and he got one ground ball out, one fly out, and a strikeout looking. So I thought Mears was great. And I imagine tomorrow we have to see Devin Williams tomorrow because it's going to be a week since last outing. And there's an off day coming on Monday, rain in the forecast on Tuesday in Atlanta. You got to make sure Devin's in the game one way or another tomorrow, and hopefully it's locking down a save.
Yeah, it's really tough trying to protect guys when they're rehabbing and coming back. We all knew he wouldn't pitch in back-to-back games, but it's going to be over a week before he gets a chance for only his second appearance, and he still hasn't been in a true closer's role just with that one appearance here so far, Dom. I agree. He's got to get in and get some work in at the very least.
I agree. Craig Kishon will be with us again tomorrow to break down what's hopefully a Brewers series victory against the Nats. Craig, appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Dom. Sounds good.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. We'll talk a little bit more about the offense and some specific performers coming up next. A question in here about Joey Ortiz. We'll talk about him. Talk about the lineup. Talk about it all coming up next on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio here. Brew Crew fall 6-4. But back at it tomorrow. They're 62-48 for their overall record. Still 14 games above 500. Still 5.5 games clear of the Cardinals here in the Central. Talk a little offense here. Garrett Mitchell, I talked about him in the pregame show. He came off the bench today, got a knock, scored a run as well. With the lefty on the mound today, he did not get the start. A lefty on the mound again tomorrow, I imagine he will not get a start. He is just 2-for-11 this year against left-handed pitching. But here's the odd thing to me, and this is just my observation. I remember having conversations with Brewers brass about Garrett Mitchell in spring training. And when the Brewers were trying to figure out, all right, how is their lineup going to fit? Remember, we were talking about Sal Frelick playing third base because they were trying to find a way for all of the young kids to be in lineup with Christian Yelich. And if you want to get really deep in the weeds here, in spring training, Garrett had a lot of at-bats against left-handed pitching. Like, he was getting opportunities against lefties. Now, these specific stats aren't considered in spring training where, you know, your platoons in spring training are not measured. But with that being said, what's the worst thing that could happen of giving him an opportunity against a lefty tomorrow? I talked about this, that today was his 70th career game in the big leagues, knowing he was going to eventually come off the bench today for Blake Perkins. Well, almost half a season's worth of career games. I know he's had injury late in 2023, injury late in 2024, and he was only arrived for September in 2022. But 70 career games, he's hitting .283. He's got an .803 OPS. And in his career, he has not had very many opportunities against left-handed pitching. In fact, in his big league career, which I know only spans 3 years and 70 games, he's only had 20 at-bats against lefties. So the Brewers are just flat-out saying, you are not going to get an opportunity against left-handed pitching in the big leagues until you prove that you can do it. Well, then it becomes like, well, how are you going to let me prove that I can do it until you give me the chance to play against a lefty? And he's been swinging the bat well. I would like to see a first-round pick, somebody who's as athletic and freakish as Garrett Mitchell, get the chance against lefties. Bryce Terang is getting the chance against lefties. Sal Frelick is getting the chance against lefties. Give him the chance to prove himself and see what he can do. I mean, just going back to 2022 season, when he spent the majority of that year in the minor leagues, he faced lefties. He faced lefties to the tune of 87 plate appearances. He still had a .276 batting average and a .768 OPS. He didn't, you know, suddenly fail in his development because he was facing a left-handed pitcher that day. I just feel like Brewers should be considering giving him a shot against southpaws. Another thing about today's lineup and something that caught my eye, Joey Ortiz, we've talked about him slowing down drastically ever since the neck injury, really. But his on-base percentage is still solid at .346 to this point in the season, well above league average. But this was a guy that was flirting with the upper threes. I mean, he was at .391 for his on-base percentage 2 months ago on June 2nd for the season, and he was hitting .293 at the time. He says the neck issue started to pop up in Anaheim on June 17th. And I believe that the neck issue is resolved for the most part, but sometimes when you spend a little time on the IL and you don't have that daily routine of being able to see pitching, it takes a minute for your batter's eye to come back. He's still drawing walks. He's got 14 walks in his last 29 games, but he's only hitting .177. But I think the biggest alarm bell to me is the lack of power and a lack of slug and not a lot of hard hits for Joey Ortiz. This is something I've been meaning to do, and I'm going to do it live here on the radio as I'm pulling up the Baseball Savant bat tracking stuff that we can look at now with a little more data, because sometimes, you know, we get a new tool, we look at it for a few weeks, and then we forget that it's there. I'm pulling up Joey Ortiz's average bat speed month by month just to see if there's sort of something to monitor here, if there's something to be alarmed of, if that he is dealing with something maybe a little bit more than we expect, because he has not been the same hitter for a couple of months now. And when you pull up his average bat speed, in fact, throughout the season, his fastest average bat speed was up to 75 miles an hour in June, and then it's been down a full mile an hour in July and August. Now, that doesn't tell the whole story. There could be more two-strike counts in there, so you get a little more defensive, and you try other ways to try to get aboard and try to get on base. But his swing length has actually gotten a little bit shorter, which is a good thing. Talking to Connor Dawson and talking to Ozzie Timmons about the fact that Joey Ortiz is seeing a lot more strikes right now. He's seeing a lot more pitches on the inner third right now, as scouts have identified he's a guy that likes to go out and get it and try to extend and hit the ball the other way. And he doesn't enjoy pitches on the inside corner, and they've been exploiting that. This is his first real big league slump. So now it's your turn to make the adjustment, as the league has made the adjustment to you. And maybe one of those adjustments is we see him slightly shorting up, just based on the bat tracking data, shortening up his swing by just a few decimal points, which doesn't sound like a lot, but a few decimal points are, you know, a few inches in space, which inches are the difference between barreling a ball and hitting a ground ball. So that's why we monitor these things with a guy like Joey Ortiz to make sure that, hey, are you building bad habits? Are you building good habits? And he's only had one multi-hit game since the start of July, and he's only had three multi-hit games since this stretch, since June 16th, when this neck issue started to flare up for him. So three multi-hit games in his last 29. These are things that we are monitoring with Joey Ortiz, and I talked about this on Brewers Weekly on Thursday. The Brewers don't really have anybody behind him at third base right now. He has taken everyday reps at third. Oliver Dunn seems to have a serious back issue, and he's been out for months now. Andre Monasterio has been around, but you know that's why you've been keeping Joey Ortiz in the fold, because, well, they favor Tito, and he's a bit more bigger part of the future for the Crew as they try to figure out what he's going to do. So he is in his real first big league slump. We saw Jackson Churio be in a real big league slump earlier in the year, and he got out of it. And see what Joey Ortiz can do here in these final month and a half for the Crew. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And for this month only, Sider is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com today to schedule an appointment before it's too late. So you get $99 off their trip fee for HVAC at Sider, Sider.com. Pat Murphy coming up next. Also a peek at the out-of-town scoreboard. Highlights a little bit later on. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. The loss today, quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard here before we hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after this defeat. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you're hanging out with us here on a lovely Saturday early evening. I'm a little sad, though, as I look out and see the sun starting to come down. It's like, man, summer really is almost over here in Wisconsin. It comes very, very quickly. And it makes me sad because I love the sun, and it makes me happy, and knowing that winter is coming. But the Brewers are still in first place. It is August 3rd. It is all okay. It's not great, but it's okay, figuring out what this final month of August will look like. And just looking at the upcoming schedule here for the Crew, we've talked about this stretch. I've said it before. I'm hoping the Brewers, coming out of the All-Star break and these first 27 games out of the break, that the Brewers could find a way to be 17-10 over these 27 games. So it started with the Twins 2 weekends ago, and it ends next week against the Braves. Can you find a way to be 17-10 against these clubs? They're going into the 10-game homestand, I should say, after facing Cincinnati, including that next weekend, because then you get the Dodgers and the Guardians, two first-place teams, back-to-back. And the Braves are suddenly on the hunt and on the prowl right now. They're staring down the Phillies to try to take down the East, and they're playing a lot better baseball right now. The Braves, they're already up 1-0 and ready to add on against the Marlins in the bottom of the first inning. They had an RBI from Matt Olson. He has been white-hot since leaving Milwaukee. Furthermore, the Phillies, they've been scuffling. They got swept by the Yankees at home. They lost badly yesterday to the Mariners. They've lost 5 consecutive series. They're taking on the Mariners later tonight. As for the games that directly impact the Brewers, the Pirates, they're already up 1-0 on the Joey Bart homer we mentioned already. It's top of the fourth inning in Pittsburgh, and the Cardinals already won today in come-from-behind fashion, 5-4. But after next week, right, after that 10-game homestand where you get the Brewers have 3 with the Reds, 4 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Guardians, they head down to St. Louis again finally. They will see the Cardinals for their first of 2 final series with the Cards. Their last time going to Busch Stadium, the last time they went to Busch was April. And they could be a very different team. Obviously, Tommy Pham is on the team now. Eric Fetty is on the team now. Tommy Edman is gone. They're a team that is playing a lot better since the last time the Brewers saw them. But that's the 20th through the 22nd. Then they go to Oakland, and that's in less than 3 weeks' time. But the A's have been mashing. I don't know if you've been noticing. They kept Rooker. They kept Miller. They kept Andujar. They kept Geloff. They kept Langeliers. They kept all these guys, and they are mashing. They beat the Dodgers last night. That's not the same A's team that you saw last season. Then they come back home. The Giants have been playing better baseball. The Diamondbacks are on fire. The Cardinals, and then the Rockies. So you're going to have a stretch here where the Brewers is, it's going to get real very quickly, where you've got the Braves next week, then the Reds, who are out of it, Dodgers, Guardians, Cardinals, A's are out of it but playing better, Giants, they're putting themselves back in it, Diamondbacks in it, Cardinals in it, Rockies out of it. So this is a big, big August coming up for the Crew all the way up to Labor Day as they try to figure out what they are made of and what kind of club they're going to be down the stretch to try to make it into the postseason. Once again, we've all heard the lines, 5 of the last 6 years, yada, yada, but Brewers fans are sick of hearing that stat because they just want to hear won a playoff series for the first time since 2018. That's the key that Brewers fans want to hear. And one thing, I talked about this in Brewers warm-up, the Brewers are in range to be a top 2 seed. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, and it changes daily, obviously, but with 52 games to go, they're within 3 games of the 1 seed, which every single fan would take that at this point in the season. And they still have head-to-head matchups with both the Dodgers and the Phillies to try to impact that. The last time the Brewers were the 1 seed was 2018. So we're trying to create the good vibes here. You know what else about 2018? They didn't have very many starters. They had a great bullpen. They had a great offense. They had some sluggers. There are some parallels from 6 seasons ago to the Brewers right now. Today was a tough one. They lose 6-4 to the Nationals. Pat Murphy spoke with the media after the contest. Here's what he had to say.
One seemed to be ailing Savali. Two out batters in that first inning. Like, what couldn't he quite figure out to get over the hump?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you got to give credit to Washington first. You just do, you know, like, They timely hitting, stole bases when they had to, put themselves in scoring position. You know, hit some balls hard where we weren't. And, yeah. And then they put the ball in play off Aaron when they had to.
Seemed like it was a lot of fastball usage for him, too.
Cutter.
Yeah, cutter.
Cutters, yeah. I mean, you know, he's still. I mean, obviously, he's been a really successful major league pitcher, and he isn't having his best year, but he's still kind of finding himself and how he wants to attack people and how he wants his arsenal to work. And that two-seam sinker, fastball sinker, you know, down hasn't really been their form, and cutter's been inconsistent. But curveball good at times, but then leaves one up. So, yeah, I love the kid, man, and I'm pulling for him. So.
Is it partially like the command too, like the misses?
Yeah, he's like a, you know, he's a guy that pitches on the edges, and he's a guy that relies on his command, and it hasn't been what he's wanted to be today, I'm sure.
Mentioning about the offense league.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're getting a 5-0 hole. It's tough, but. And then we had some better opportunities late and didn't take advantage, but, you know, didn't take full advantage. But that, once again, the guys put themselves in position to win, and we just didn't get the big hit there at the end. But a lot of good things at the end of the game. And you know, this team that we're playing just got done playing us. They're catching us at a time when we're not in full strength. And it doesn't matter if they are not. They're playing free, and they're playing the young guys, and they're a fun team to watch. But it's like they're catching us at a time where they know us a little bit and doing a great job with it.
Now you've seen all the trade deadline arms pitch for you guys with Frank yesterday. Savali's obviously been here a while. I don't know if you'd ask, like, just what your expectation is for what to get out of them. I mean, are you hoping, like, they elevate things significantly, or, you know, kind of here for stability in innings, or?
Yeah, I think we've been built on depth. You know what I mean? That's what we've done since the beginning of the season, with the number of significant injuries we've had, with, obviously, after trading Burns, and then we, you know, D.L. Hall gets hurt, and then Miley's out for the year, and then Boo Boo, and, you know, you guys know the list. Woody's out for the year. So depth became very, very important, and I think the deadline shows that, you know, we didn't go out and get big rentals or anything like that, but we got some nice pieces that will contribute.
They believe in their room, and I know folks aren't happy with hearing the company line all the time, but it's the truth. They're pretty happy with the room, and I talk about this a lot on Thursday. I really do feel, and this is me talking, not a source or anything like that, I just feel like the Brewers were a little just kind of bated breath because, look, this team needs Christian Yelich. We can't sit here and lie to ourselves in thinking that this team can survive in a postseason without Christian Yelich, because it can't. Like, you're not going to survive without your best player. And he was playing like the best player for the Brewers this year, so they want to get him healthy, get him right, and just the hesitancy of his health and don't know what you're going to get when he comes back, I think, is part of the reason why maybe some folks felt the Brewers didn't make a big splash at the deadline, because they wanted to make sure Yelly was A-OK. That's just my take on that. But I really like what we saw from Frankie Montas. Savali is depth. Ross is depth. D.L. Hall could be back in the big leagues here soon. So the Brewers are putting it together, still in first place with 52 games to go. There were some highlights. We'll take some moments to hear those coming up next here on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Nats, game two of the series. Rookie left-hander DJ Hertz going up against Aaron Savali. And the Brewers were in the hole early, down 4-0 after an inning of play, thanks to a two-out rally with three hits and a walk that produced 4 runs for the Nats. And the Brewers were even down 5-0 after 4 innings, thanks to a home run from Luis Garcia. He ended up a triple shy of the cycle. We pick things up in the 5th inning, though. The Brewers get their leadoff man on with Sal Frelick getting aboard on an error. He took second on a wild pitch, and with 2 outs, he was still standing on second base. And the kid, Jackson Churio, was up at the plate.
Hurst brings home the 1-1, and this is lined into center for a base hit. Frelick being waved around third. Young up with it, throws home. The throw is up the line, and Sal Frelick in there safely. It's an RBI single for Jackson Churio. The Brewers on the board. It's a 5-1 game.
Lane Grindle's call here. However, they would give the run right back. Bryce Wilson would allow a run in the bottom of the 5th inning on a James Wood RBI single. So the lead was restored to 6-1. The Brewers in the 7th, their offense would be late arriving, but it would arrive with Reese Hoskins.
Now the pitch. Fly ball hit into left center field. That ball is being pushed back and back onto the track. Young at the fence. It's gone. Reese Hoskins into the bullpen. And the Brewers get back within 6-2.
Josh Maurer's call on WTMJ. Team leading number 19 of the year for Reese Hoskins. Then in the 8th, another rally form for the Crew against the Nats bullpen. Back-to-back singles had men on first and second, but the next two batters were retired. Contreras was out on a ground out. Adames struck out. 2 outs and a new pitcher comes into the game, and he uncorks
first one. First offering to Sanchez is down in the dirt. He gets away from Ruiz. Churio sprinting home. He will score. Mitchell moves up 90 feet to third. It is a 6-3 ball game.
And instead of 2 RBIs, only 1 for Gary as he cashed in on the next bet.
Here's the 1-0 pitch. And a ground ball back up the middle into center field for a base hit. Mitchell will score. Sanchez delivers with an RBI single. And don't look now. The Brewers trail by just 2 runs here in the 8th.
However, Reese Hoskins would fly out to end the 8th. The Brewers with 2 outs would get a single from Terang in the 9th. But Churio would ground out to end the contest. They fall today by a final of 6-4. Rubber game tomorrow. We'll preview it up next as the Crew tries to get the win to start off this road trip between Washington and Atlanta on WTMJ. Tomorrow, Brewers try to salvage it. Try to win the series. More than that, more than salvage it. Brewers, Nats, 12:35 first pitch here on WTMJ. Coverage will begin at noon with the On Deck show. Then the team is off on Monday. Then it's down to Atlanta Tuesday through Thursday. However, there is some weather bubbling in the Gulf of Mexico right now that we will be monitoring for the week there in Georgia as tropical storm into hurricane developments could be happening on the west coast of Florida and leading into Georgia. So we'll be monitoring that as well. The off day Monday. I'll be with you for post-game shows tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then we have a Brewers Weekly on Thursday night. Then the Brewers come home for their longest homestand of the year. 3 with the Reds, 4 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Guardians. As for tomorrow's game, Mitchell Parker, another lefty, gets the ball for the Nats. Now, the last time the Brewers faced him, it was the Saturday of that final homestand of the first half, in which they scored 5 runs and chased Parker in the first inning. He made him throw 46 pitches in the first inning when the Brewers scored 5 runs against him. But then the bullpen kept the Brewers off the board. They lost the game late. A blown save for Trevor McGill in that one. It was 6-5, the final in that contest. The Brewers would like to do the same once again to Mitchell Parker, but hopefully get a better result today, or tomorrow, I should say. And then it'll be Tobias Myers for the Crew getting the ball. 6-4, a 3.10 ERA. He had a shorter start his last outing, only going 4 innings, given there were 4 very stressful innings against the Marlins, so he had a no decision. Snapped a streak of starts in which 3 consecutive starts he was responsible for the decision. He has not had his ERA dip below 3 for the whole season yet, but it would be certainly remarkable given the way that things started for him in the first 2 months of the year. In his first 7 appearances, he had thrown 26 innings and allowed 16 earned runs. And since then, since those first 7 appearances, he has allowed a total of 12 earned runs over his last 9 appearances. So he's been a whole new pitcher as of late. He's been really fun to watch. Excited to see what he can do and try to give the Brewers a W. Who would expect that Tobias Myers would be the guy the Brewers would be leaning on to be the stopper and get them a series victory. So again, on the air at noon tomorrow. The Brewers are in good shape. They are monitoring Jacob Mizorowski in AAA tonight. Not his best debut down there in AAA, as they have said they're going to shorten him up moving forward, trying to maybe groom him for a hybrid role. Well, he started the game. He pitched into the second inning, did not record a strikeout, did not allow a hit, but did have three walks and a hit batter. So things that have always plagued Mizorowski have been his command issues and how it disappears at times. And he's going to have to learn how to get it done in AAA before he obviously comes up to the show. So he's still waiting on his first AAA strikeout. And in case you're wondering, Tyler Black down there, he has continued to be swinging a hot bat. Tyler Black, 2-for-3 today, including a home run. He's got 11 in AAA now. He's playing third base today. He's been all over the place defensively this season for the Crew, specifically in AAA now. He is now playing third base today. He started the year only playing first base, and he's even had a handful of starts in the outfield. So Black could be up at some point this year. Definitely, I would imagine, in September when the Brewers get the extra roster spot on their bench. And I wonder if we see Eric Haas or Gary Sanchez catch tomorrow, given William has caught the first two games of this series. And it's been hot, it's been humid, it's been muggy. But we got the game in, and there was no rain delay to worry about here today. So the Brewers fall 6-4. Back at it tomorrow. Tobias Myers and Mitchell Jordan getting the ball in this one. The Brewers have a chance to win the series, go on to Atlanta with a happy flight, and then enjoy the off day on Monday. I'm looking forward to being in Atlanta for all three of those games, bringing to all the coverage to you live from Hotlanta at Truist Park. It's a solid park. If you've never been, same with Nationals Park. I really enjoy Nationals Park too. Maybe put that same weekend next year when the Brewers are there in 2025. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison, and for our guest, Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.